Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
On a Sunday afternoon.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day, and I'm glad Christina Cavanaugh is here, too, because she's going to help us. She's got some good information for us. Christina is the author of Managing Your Email, Thinking Outside the Inbox. Christina, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. It's my pleasure.
It's good to have you back. Christina, you know, when you and I talked a little bit about this last time you were here, and that is how insidious email can be. It really is. It's seductive and insidious, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean, it's so easy for us to sort of fall into the trap of pressing send, checking emails constantly, and feeling that we're actually much more productive than we really are.
When you first got email, let's be honest, you and I, Christina.
Okay,
Way back when we first got email, you know, back in the dark ages, what would that have been, 96, 97?
Well, for some, it would have been in the early 90s, Jim.
It could have been. Yeah, I didn't have email way back then, but I was online. Mm-hmm. I was using, you know, some of the bureaus, Prodigy, and some of those things. I was using those back in the 80s, but I didn't have email until about the mid 90s, and so way back in the pioneer days, I can actually remember, and I'm ashamed to say this, but I'm going to be honest. Way back when the very first time I ever got email, I can remember checking my email before I went to bed. Okay, now Christina, you go. Now you tell us something that's embarrassing.
Well, you got me on the spot there, Jim.
You're not going to wimp out on me, are you, Christina?
Well, I'm trying to think of a story I could tell. I probably, if I had a transgression, probably it was that I had sent an email that was chock-a-block full of content. I was, of course, not happy about something, and The next thing I know, that person showed up at my door.
Wow.
And I never forgot that, because I spent the next 15 minutes apologizing.
Holy mackerel. So you were looking around for some asbestos paper to write this letter on? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, it's all kind of that legal side. It's kind of like when you know, you put something down on paper, you can't back away from it.
You didn't get punched out or anything, did you?
Well, no, but I certainly had to apologize much more profusely than I had ever intended to. And then I started my research.
Well, you know, I'll give you another confession. But this is actually a practical lesson here, Christina. I have actually written things like that, and then all of a sudden I'd say, "Wait a minute, let me make sure nobody's in the send to line," mm-hmm. you know, in case I accidentally hit send. And then I keep writing. I say, "Wait a minute, I better take this offline," and I'd literally cut it out of the email and go put it into a Word file or something. And I'd say, you know, I'm gonna wait and see if I feel this way in the morning.
That is the best thing you could ever do, and it's certainly one of the things, Jim, that I advocate to people. It's so easy. I mean, just last week I got an email that was a bit of mixed news, and even I reacted. I reacted in a way that I was, you know, not happy, and I had wished that person had called me instead of the email. So I had to, you know, sort of stay away from all that and take a few days before I decided how I was going to respond. It's one of the problems with email. It's so instant. I mean, it's a beauty. It's instant. But our anger or our level of misinterpretation can also be very instant.
Well, I have a challenge, because I refuse to put smiley faces or frowny faces in my email. So sometimes I want to, I'm guilty of having a little bit of I can be a little sardonic sometimes, and so
not you, not Jim, not you.
Well, I know that's hard to believe, but the thing is that I refuse to put smiley faces or frowny faces in my email, and so sometimes I don't you know, I could probably benefit from that, but I don't do it. Another thing that I do, Christina, that I'll ask you what your thoughts are. Sometimes if I'm not sure about how something's going to be received, I literally type it out and send it to myself and see what it looks like coming back at me.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there, I advocate that a lot, Jim. I mean, I advocate people, before they press send, do two things. One, you know, reread the message. Like, sit back and just, you know, now put your receiver's hat on and reread the message as if you were getting it to see if it sounds, you know, proper. And if it does, and all the words are correct, then the last thing I say to people is then put in the address and send it with confidence.
You know, I remember when I first got email, started using email, I remember thinking, now, why did they make the send button? Why did they put it over there? Why didn't they put it like in the middle, big yellow, big red, you know, background and everything? And then I remember thinking, why didn't they make the send button? Why didn't they connect it to the return key? You know, or the enter key? Why didn't they do that? And then after a while, I realized that was really a smart thing for them to do.
Yes, because there are so many ways, as you said, we can accidentally launch messages halfway through, or you know, or even willingly, it's too easy to press the send button.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you were mentioning about the smiley faces, and those are called emoticons. So that's the, you know, a short word for emotion icon. And probably only about 5% of people actually use those things. They're used a lot in instant messaging. That's fine. But in emailing, they're not used. So, you know, sometimes a person can be sending you a message with a sort of, you know, a smiley face or a colon and a bracket at the end that denotes, you know, a smile. And they're sending you something cheeky, but you're reading it and you don't understand that language at the end. Mm-hmm. You can get quite upset.
Right.
It is quite frowned upon at work. People do not want that stuff on email at all.
Right.
Don't, you know, like, just like, don't bother me with it.
Right, yeah.
You know, take the time to write what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Don't keep me guessing or put me into some other sub-language.
Well, you know, thinking about all that, I just remember being a little kid when we lived away from my grandmother, and she would write letters. Every couple of weeks we'd get a letter from her.
Mm-hmm.
And she had great penmanship and always wrote things that were, you know, were fun to read. And I remember being a little bitty guy reading her letters, and every so often her sentences would be sprinkled with a little superscript, ha-ha. Did you ever get a letter like that from your grandmother? But she wanted to make sure that you knew that she was making a little bit of a joke there. And of course, we knew anyway. But the funny part, I've never forgotten her little superscript, ha-has. Anyway. That's a little bit of information there, folks, that you probably didn't care about. Anyway, 20 after, we're going to be right back with our good friend Christina Cavanaugh. She's the author of Managing Your Email, and we're going to do that a little bit more right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back, 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Christina Cavanaugh is our guest and our good friend. She's Professor of Management Communication at the Richard Ivey School of Business at the University of Western Ontario. And she's the author of Managing Your Email. Christina, tell us where your book's available, please.
The book is available at most Barnes & Noble stores and definitely available online with Amazon.com, whether it's in paperback or a downloadable version.
And her last name is spelled Cavanagh. No you in your name, right?
No you in my name, no. If you type in email, you'll be able to find it.
Okay, there you go. Okay, that's a good idea. And, okay, now let's talk about some things. What are some other tips that we can do to manage the information that comes to us? We were talking previously about being careful about what we sent. Let's talk about the stuff that we get in. Is spam going to get easier to manage in the weeks and months ahead?
I think it is, Jim, in a couple of ways. Spam is a tricky business because there's two types of spam. One is what we call the more illegal type, and there's another that's legal spam, and we just throw everything into one bucket.
Mm-hmm.
So the illegal type of spam, which is the viruses, you know, the pornography and that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, certainly a lot of the internet service providers are trying to reduce that in many different ways. And then there is the CAN-SPAM Act of 2003, and there's other legislation. So we'll see some of that, diffuse. On the legal spam side, we might see more of those things.
Give us an example of legal spam.
Well, it could be marketing for vitamins or you know, the latest book on pocket billiards or...
But now, see, all that's, to me, you know, you call it legal and illegal. It's all objectionable spam if I didn't ask for it.
Well, but the interesting thing, though, Jim, is that the legal, I mean, of course, the other stuff, the virus stuff, none of us ask for. But the more, you know, e-marketing, that legal stuff, well, right. About 8% of people actually respond to those ads.
Yeah, that's scary.
It is scary, which means that, you know, it's a business, especially for people like your listenership who are in small business. Mm-hmm. It's a very easy way for $600 to $1,000 for a million names. It's very easy to get your message out to a wide group where who are actually paying attention. So I'm not sure that spam is going to be eradicated. I think what might happen, and there's been a lot of talk about charging postage for the legal spam. Mm-hmm. So we might see some reductions there.
Yeah, and as long as to me I don't like the idea of charging for spam, but the problem that I don't like is when it affects what I consider to be legitimate marketers, email mm-hmm. marketers, and those are people who operate with opt-in email lists.
Yeah. Yeah, and so a lot of that, Jim, still has to be straightened out. There's sort of a whole cyber war out there how many people can try to get everybody's attention.
Right.
The one thing that people can do to arm themselves, and I recommend, is to get an anti-spam, get some anti-spam software. If you're in a large corporation, then they spend millions on these things. But if you're in a home office or smaller business, there is a lot of good software that can be downloaded, and it does seem to be effective. You can sort of put some options in there, and it doesn't block everything, but it does give you a better measure of control, and that's what we're looking for.
You know, one of my fantasies, Christina, and this will give you an idea about how much I hate spam. One of my fantasies is to be in a very large crowded room of people, and to be next to somebody who is one of these spam criminals, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. And that I know he's a spammer. There's no doubt in my mind he's a spammer. And I'd hang a big sign around his neck on front and back, and it would say, "I'm a spammer." And I would let everybody know. I'd call everybody's attention to this guy, and I would say, "Ladies and gentlemen, this man is a spammer." And then I would slip out through the crowd and call 911 because he's going to need some help.
That's for sure, Jim.
Wouldn't you like to get your hands? Sometimes wouldn't you like to just get your hands around their necks?
Well, I've heard people say that type of thing to me, and it's because of the fact that people don't have any control. They feel like their inboxes have been invaded.
Yep.
Their
privacy's been invaded. As far as I'm concerned, it's a form of terrorism.
Well,
not to minimize the really ugly kind, but it creates chaos.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what's happened in the last little while, Jim, is that, you know, it's probably the reverse effect. We were so bombarded with so much in the last 6 months that I think all of a sudden people have kind of learned to ignore some of it.
The problem that it creates, though, for people like me is that whatever the filter doesn't catch, it gets blended in with the good stuff, and you accidentally throw away good stuff sometimes.
Well, that's true.
That's the challenge. We've got to be careful about that.
Mm-hmm.
And is it not safe to say now that if you send somebody email and if they don't respond to you, you don't need to presume that they're mad at you? They just may not have gotten it in all the spam.
That's entirely possible. I mean, we can presume for the most part that, you know, when we send a message, it's received on the other end.
Yeah.
Because the system will notify us if it isn't.
Yeah.
So it's just a question of whether the person's gotten to it or, as you say, they've pitched it with a bunch of spam.
Christina Cavanaugh, ladies and gentlemen. the author of Managing Your Email. Thank you, Christina, for being here. Good job today.
Okay, thank you very much, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Christina Cavanaugh, she'll be back. Quick break, 29 after. I will be too, right after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.